As an ambassador for Jesus Christ, I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome this morning, and the guests in our midst also a hearty welcome, and may you feel the love of God in our midst. And we also have quite a few number young children here, also a hearty welcome. And we just want to thank the Lord that He has given us this opportunity where we can assemble ourselves in His house and nourish our soul from His word. But before we go on with our service, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your greatness, and we thank you for your promises. You have been faithful to your promise and have sent us as a redeemer. You have kept your word. We must now try to be the people you made us to be. We must remember at all times who you are, because you made us your holy people. We ask for your forgiveness for those times when we do not remember, when we fall short, and when we choose not to do your will. We pray for your presence here this morning. And Heavenly Father, we also pray for the leaderships of this country, that they may seek guidance from you so that we can continue to be blessed. And Lord, we also ask your presence here this morning as we will be looking at the obligations of the saved. And may this also be an encouragement to the unsaved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your red hymnals and turn to number 170. I was once far away from the Savior. 170. I was once far away from the Savior, and as vile as a sinner could be. I wondered if Christ, a Redeemer, could save a poor sinner like me. I wandered alone in the darkness, not a ray of light could I see, and the thought fill my heart with sadness. There's no help for a sinner like me. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice sweetly whispered to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner. Was a Savior who was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the chief of all sinners. Oh, save a poor sinner. 395, in the glory of life's morning. 395.
We want to, first of all, this morning, turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, of course, our main focus must always be upon the living God and his grace. But we are not to ignore the gifts. And if we were serious of what Apostle Paul is telling us, it would transform us in our church. Now, every gift, or every Christian has a gift of the Spirit. And we don't all have the same gifts. Now, Timothy, he had a special gift, a specific gift. God had given him the gift of teaching and pastoring a church, and he was able to encourage and guide the congregation. And this gift, of course, was also recognized by the congregation. They accepted his leadership and listened to what he had to say because they knew that Timothy was speaking with the power from God. We could say that the Spirit of God was upon him. Yes, the Spirit of God had anointed him to preach the gospel. And that was his work in the Christian church, to encourage and to warn. And with his own knowledge and his own skills, it would not have been possible. But this gift that he had been given to him from God enabled him to do it because God was supportive of that. And so with that gift, he was able to inspire and hold together a church. Now, Timothy, of course, had more than saving grace. He had the power of God. And us, as Christians, all of us, have been given a gift from God. We have been given a gift from God to serve in the church. And every Christian also has the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is what makes us different from one another. But the fruit of the Spirit makes us the same as one another. The various gifts are like various members of our body. We need these various gifts in order for a church to function, just like we need the various members for our body to function. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is what makes us Christ-like. Every one of us Christians has this fruit. Find that in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. This fruit of the Spirit we all have when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But we also, each of us, has a different gift or gifts. And we need to realize that each one of us has our own place, our role, and a responsibility in the church of God. No one of us has all of it, and no one of us is useless. Everyone has a contribution to make. No one sometimes can do it but you. And that is why you are so important to the church. And we very often see the gifts in everyone else except ourselves. We feel useless. But every Christian has been given the gift of the indwelling Spirit, as well as some other gifts. Now, we may not all be preachers, teachers, or leaders in the church, but we all do have a part to further the kingdom of God. But helping to further the kingdom of God is going to cost us something. We might even think that it is a burden, and often wish that we did not have this obligation. But along with accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior come obligations. Obligations that need to be filled. As a matter of fact, we do have no choice but to fulfill those obligations. In other words, to use the gift that has been given to us. It may be the gift of hospitality, may be the gift of a prayer life, it may be the gift of caring. Yes, you are the one that will see that need. You are the one that needs to do it then, or to make sure that it does get done. And there are many gifts that all give us a place in the church of God. And if we do not use these gifts, I think it's very plain what is going to happen. The church is going to become weaker. There are needs that are not being met. There's others. They're carrying a greater burden. while others are looking on. And as a Christian, we have no right to do that. Now, we might not have an official role in the church, but there is none without a gift. You might ask, what is my gift? Where does God want me? Well, what is somebody asking you to do? Is that maybe what your gift is? What are the needs of the church? Are you seeing some needs that aren't being filled? Is that maybe then your gift to fill those needs? But if you are in Christ, if you profess to be a Christian, he has given you a gift. And if he hadn't given you a gift, you would be useless. And we know that God has not made anything useless. The gift may be neglected, but do not neglect this gift. Apostle Paul points out the danger when we neglect this gift. It may become useless. And maybe the Apostle Paul was seeing some of these things in young Timothy in his life. And this can also happen to any follower of Christ. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. If you don't use it, you lose it. And it might be a gradual decline. Maybe we aren't even noticing it. Is our relationship with the church becoming less and less? Do we need to step outside of ourselves and take a good look at us, at our life? Is our zeal for Christ and the church less than when we started out in our Christian walk? We just have to look at King Saul. King Saul started out with the blessed spirit of God. But he not only neglected the gifts that he was given, but he replaced those gifts with envy, with murder. We might say he replaced God's gifts with sin. And what happened to him? He was destroyed in battle. Now, we don't have to go back to the Old Testament times to find this. We find this happening today. Church members, church leaders, they're neglecting their gifts. And what happens when they neglect their gifts? Sin creeps in. But that is what happened with Saul when he started to neglect the gifts that God had given him. Yes, he replaced them with things of this world. But we all need to ask ourselves, are we like King Saul? Or are we following the instructions of Apostle Paul, where he says we are not to neglect our gifts? Some individuals think that a gift from God has to be extraordinary. It has to be charismatic. Being a prayer warrior is something that probably never anybody ever sees, and it is a gift from God. We need not to put out the Spirit's fire. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, quench not the Spirit. This God has given us a particular gift. Some don't want to face up to the responsibility of having it. They cease to exercise that gift. Others think that this gift will look after itself. They don't exercise or take care of it. And we know anything that gets neglected, our possessions, ourselves, what happens? It deteriorates. And likewise with that gift, if we neglect it, it will also deteriorate. Very often we think that our souls will take care of themselves. But these were the dangers that Apostle Paul was warning Timothy about, and us as well. So what are we to do about that? We will go to that after we have gone on bended knee. And so, let us all kneel in prayer, whoever is able, and pray whatever lies in your heart. May the Lord hear our prayers, be merciful unto us.
Let's take our blue hymnal and turn to number 34, How Great Thou Art. Number 34, for those that are able, let's stand.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God that he has given us. It is like a fire. When the fire has gone down, flames have gone down, and you take and stir it up, and the flames, they shoot up again. That's what he's referring to. Stir up that gift in you that has died down. Yes, God saved us. He gave us gifts. We had potential. We were builders. Have we laid that aside? Are we now useless members? Or maybe even parasites, living off of the labor of others? When we stir up that gift, we could say we need to find that first love. Stir up that dormant gift in you. How can this be done? Let us look into Scripture to see how this can be done, so that the gifts will come alive. Apostle Paul says, be diligent. 1 Timothy, going back to 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Yes, this gift, we need to give ourselves to it. And this gift that he has given us is not only just for us, but it is also for others. Feed the gift. How can we feed this gift that is within us? We can feed that gift with the Word of God. This gift that is in us will not continue to burn if we don't feed it with Scripture. Yes, we need to fall in love with Scripture, with this book, the Bible. Have a thirst and hunger for it, searching and searching. We need to seek the face of God. Yes, our concern should always be to be like God. Of course, we know we'll never attain that, but that should be our goal, to be blameless. But we should walk closer to him. And the closer we walk to him, the more we will resemble him. Pressing on for the prize, the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we ask, we will be filled. We have promise in the scripture where God says, if we ask anything that is in his will, he will answer. And we can be rest assured that searching scripture, feeding our soul from scripture is his will. And if we are physically starving, what would we do? We would become desperate. We would seek and seek where we could find food, nourishment for our body. And once we would have found it, we would continue to go back to that source. Is this what is happening with us spiritually? With some of us, spiritually we are starving. We seek and we seek to pacify this hunger that cannot be pacified because we do not go to the right source. The right source is Scripture. And if we would go to Scripture and pacify our soul, we would not be starving our gifts. But first of all, it is important that we know that we are a child of God. It is not healthy for our spiritual life to have this doubt in our mind if God loves us. Scripture gives us enough evidence that all those that come to him through Jesus Christ are his. He loves us. He loves us to the point that he calls us his children. And as a father, he will provide for us. Yes, we need to be dedicated to these gifts that God has given us. These gifts are not given to us just to be used when we find time. And our life should be built around them. What does the Apostle Paul say? For me to live is Christ. But we need to look at ourselves and ask one question. What is it in life that has changed our values and our priorities? Are they different than when we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, when we were alive in Christ? So let us use these gifts that God has given us. We are not all called for full-time service. Most of us have to work for a living also, provide for a living. But yet, God knows all of that, and he has given us gifts so that it will fit into our schedule. We have all a role to fill in the body of Christ. And going to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he says, take heed, look out. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Yes, these are the two areas that have to be watched, yourself and your teaching. We represent Christ. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Jesus preached the gospel or preached the saving grace for about 3 years. And then he left. He ascended into heaven. And he now depends on us to further the kingdom of God. He did not have a plan B. We are it. We represent Christ here on this earth. And a dirty cup is no vessel to hold pure water. God wants us also to be clean, consistent, godly. Apostle Paul is telling Timothy here, if he is careless in his personal life, he will also be careless in how he cares for the souls of his flock. And having gifts does not mean that we can then neglect our souls. We need to be in a healthy spiritual condition. Yet we find that some people, God has gifted them tremendously, but very often they are blinded to their own problems. And we need to remind ourselves, even though we are very gifted, we cannot afford to neglect self-watch. If we neglect self-watch, we soon become a liability in the Church of Christ. And going along with that, we also have to be careful. Watch what we teach. It is quite the responsibility to stand between sinful man and a holy God, to talk about obedience, faith, and holiness, and yet doing it in a way that does not bring discouragement. Apostle Paul says, continue in them. We are to persevere. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And he says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Yes, persecution will come our way. Scripture has promised that. As Christians, we will face persecution. But Scripture also tells us, Jesus tells us, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, we still have to go through this world, and it seems to be becoming more difficult and more difficult. And yet we cannot be discouraged. We should not even be discouraged, because we have already won. That's what Jesus tells us. He says he has overcome. And if we are in him, he is in us. So these things that are happening around us today is nothing new, nothing strange. It'll continue to happen. But we have a solid foundation that we can stand on, and that is Jesus Christ. Yes, God has made it possible that we not only endure these temptations, but we can thrive in them. With all these temptations, persecutions, it opens up opportunities for us as Christians to proclaim the gospel to those that are lost. And that is doing God's will. He says he does not want the death of a sinner. Yes, God's power will keep us. So let us use that gift that is in us. Use it so that the church of God, the kingdom of God, will increase. Take care of it. Handle it carefully. Strengthen it, cherish it, provide for it, build it up. We always seem to be on the defensive against Satan. God has given us all the tools to be offensive against Satan. He says he has overcome the world. That is how we will persevere. But a gift that is dying needs to be stirred up. Needs to be stirred up again. And when that gift is stirred up, there will be a change that will be evident in that individual. Others will be able to see that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts off by describing the nature of the Christian. Then he tells his disciples that by living in this way, they will become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Matthew 5. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yes, the world needs to come into contact with someone that they normally wouldn't meet. They need to come in contact with someone that is not influenced by the world. They need to come in contact with someone that is influenced by Christ. Someone that has Christ living in them. They must see something different. You know, God has put something interesting in our minds. He has made all of us curious. We're always curious of something. And here is a great opportunity. If we will be a light in this world, the ungodly, their curiosity will overcome them. They will be curious. Why are these people living in peace? Yes, God is a God that takes care of his people. So these are the ways of stirring up the gift that God has given you. Be diligent. Give wholehearted dedication. Watch yourself and your teaching. Very important that when we teach, that we teach not what we think, but that we teach what God says in his word. And we need to persevere with them. So what will the result be of stirring up the gift of God? We will be a witness to all, a salvation to both you and those that see and hear us. Yes, there is a lot of opportunity in this world to bring the lost to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And may we all look for the gift or gifts that God has given us and use them to further God's kingdom. Amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Lord, at the close of this service, we thank you for your presence. We know that without your presence and power, it is like an empty shell. We pray that you will continue to guide us. Open our hearts and minds. Help us to see you in each other. You have given us all gifts. Help us to understand what our gift is. May we use this gift to further your kingdom. We also ask that you be with the lonely, the widows and widowers. Put your loving arms around them, that they may feel your love. Be with the sick. Give them healing according to your will. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in all that we do so that your will may be done. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I have an announcement of intended marriage. The groom is John Unger of Winkler, and the bride is Anita Clausen. These are both members of our church. This announcement is made for the purpose that if any person has a valid reason to oppose this marriage, that it be done in time, and thereafter forever hold their peace. Could I please ask you to stand, John and Anita? Thank you. May God bless your marriage. We also have an acceptance of a member. Her name is Margarita Fair and was recommended by Reverend Abe Heppner and Deacon Henry Barch. And so we will want to accept her this morning. But before we do that, we have a couple of questions that we want to ask you. And so if you could stand, please. The first question is, do you confess to be a born-again believer, and have you been baptized upon confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Please answer. Do you have a love for the Word of God and believe it to be the absolute truth? Please answer. Do you, by the grace of God, commit yourself to serve in love and to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ? Please answer. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. And this time, I will give you the right hand of acceptance. We always have the opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so, whoever is able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take your blue hymnals and turn to number 166, The Love of God. 166.
Good morning. Just a note for our fellowship meal. It will be next Sunday after the service, and you're all invited for that. And also have a message here from the Resolutions Committee. Any proposed resolutions to be brought to the 2026 Annual Brotherhood Meeting need to be forwarded to the Resolutions Committee by July 31st. And you can contact Jake Fraze, Pastor Henry Reimer, or Ron Gerbrandt for that. And I also have a note here from Pete and Lisa Martins. They say, we want to thank you, the church, for all the prayers and support that we received during my dad's passing. We want you all to know it was very much appreciated. Thank you, and God bless. And last but not least, I think you all know that today was Pastor Hyde's final message here, and I think I can speak on behalf of the ministerial and you as a church family. And we want to thank you, Pastor Hyde, for using your gift these many years to serve us with God's word. Thank you, and May God richly bless you for that.
Thank you. Yes, on behalf of Merle and myself, I also want to thank you for the support you've given us all these years, and pray that you also continue to keep supporting us in your prayers. It has been a privilege of serving the Lord, and I'm sure we will continue serving Him, whatever capacity He wants us to be in. But thank you once again. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.